Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking newspaper for the week ending Saturday the 2nd of August. This is Susan and your other readers are Catherine and Andrew. The editor this week is Mark and we're all members of Team 5. We're sponsored by Boom Construction and their message is, we are proud to support Decorum Talking newspaper. We're a specialist contractor and we pride ourselves on our innovative project solutions and our proactive approach to building and maintaining long-lasting relationships. Contact us by telephone on Hemel 767 760 or at boomconstruction.co.uk. Most of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. This week's headlines. Dangerous predator jailed. Campaign for safer Hemel estate. And more money needed for SEND project. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, I'm Catherine. A new campaign has been launched to lower crime and improve people's safety in a Hemel Hempstead neighbourhood. Crime Stoppers, an independent community support charity, has set up an initiative to improve Grove Hill. It is hoped that the campaign will encourage more locals to anonymously supply information to the charity, which works independently from the police. Called Grow Grove Hill, Crime Stoppers hopes it will make more people within the area aware of the charity's completely anonymous reporting service. Residents are encouraged to report information about a range of criminal activities, including drug dealing, violent crime, criminal gangs, antisocial behaviour, ASB, domestic abuse, drink and drug driving via the charity. Crime Stoppers is promoting its campaign on social media, via postcard distribution, outdoor signage and through youth charities. Annabel Goodenough, Regional Manager for Hertfordshire at Crime Stoppers, said, Crime Stoppers is proud to launch this campaign, working together with those who live and work here to help make the area safer and empower the community to speak up. Across the whole of Hertfordshire, we receive significant information from the community directly leading to seizures of drugs and weapons, stolen goods, arrests, and the safeguarding of vulnerable adults and children. This demonstrates the tangible impact of anonymous reporting. Crime Stoppers says, since its formation 37 years ago, no one who has contacted the charity has ever been identified and will never be revealed. The charity can be contacted online or via its free phone line 0800 555 111. Chief Inspector Paul Stanbridge, Hertfordshire Constabulary, said, community intelligence plays a vital role in reducing crime.
Hello, this is Andrew. County councillors have backed calls for the establishment of a Hertfordshire Youth Parliament, subject to resources being available. They committed to re-establishing a Hertfordshire Youth Parliament by August next year, 2026, subject to resources being identified after a motion was tabled at a meeting of the full council by Labour councillor Alistair Willoughby. That motion suggested that young people in Hertfordshire deserve a formal, structured and representative platform to express their views and influence decisions that affect their lives. And it suggested that re-establishing a Hertfordshire Youth Parliament would strengthen youth engagement, promote democratic values, and contribute to better informed policy making. It also said the council had a responsibility to invest in the next generation of civic leaders and to ensure that all young people have opportunities to participate in public life. And following the debate, councillors resolved that, subject to resources being identified during the 2026-27 budget process, the council would commit to re-establishing a Hertfordshire Youth Parliament by the end of the 2025-26 academic year. The reference to the commitment being subject to resources being identified during the 2026-27 budget process was the result of a Liberal Democrat amendment proposed by Executive Member for Resources and Performance, Councillor Chris Lucas. And it was the amended motion that was unanimously backed by the County Council. Following the meeting, Councillor Willoughby, Baldock and Letchworth East, who proposed the original motion and accepted the Liberal Democrat amendment, said he was proud that the motion had secured cross-party support. Young people in Hertfordshire deserve more than a voice, he said. They deserve the structure, respect and resources to shape the future of our county. This isn't just about restoring a youth parliament, it's about creating a space that empowers the next generation to lead, contribute and be heard. I'm proud that we've secured cross-party support for a proposal rooted in inclusion, ambition and trust.
Councillors have agreed that additional funding should be allocated to four flagship projects to support children with special educational needs and disabilities, SEND, one of which is in Hemel. Collectively, the County Council has already allocated more than £50 million for the four schemes in Hemel, Croxley Green, Potters Bar and Letchworth Garden City. But on Monday last week, it was reported to a meeting of the Council's Cabinet that without further funding, the schemes will not be deliverable. Members of the public were excluded from part of the meeting that considered the exact amounts required. But when the public part of the meeting resumed, councillors agreed that the additional funding, referred to at one point as multi-million pound additional bill, could be allocated to the projects. And in the wake of the escalating costs, they also recommended a review of processes to reduce the risk of a recurrence in future. The four projects to be granted the additional funds include the relocation of the Breakspear School to a site in Croxley Green and the creation of a satellite site for the Collett School in Hemel Hempstead. They also include the construction of the planned Journey's End School for children with communication needs and autism in Potters Bar and the relocation of the North Hearts Education Support Centre in Letchworth Garden City. Presenting the proposal, Executive Member for Education, SEND and Inclusion, Councillor Mark Watkin, highlighted his own deep concerns about the reason for the additional expenditure. But he stressed their commitment to completing the projects in spite of the failures of the previous administration. Accounting for the increases, he pointed to higher than inflation increases in building costs, as well as a failure to make a correct application to the Department for Education. In the case of the Breakspear School, he pointed to a failure to identify significant additional groundworks necessary to address the chalk infrastructure. Councillor Watkins said that it was the scheme at Breakspear that will deliver an additional 113 desperately needed places for children with severe learning difficulties that had caused the greatest concern. Although acknowledging that it was the most significant and complex SEND project in terms of size and scale, he said he was concerned that some of the issues might have been identified sooner if there had been a more detailed ground survey. The fact is, this is on chalk land, and because of what has now been discovered, we're going to have to build substantially deeper foundations to make sure that the buildings are absolutely secure and solid, he said. But once built, it will be a school for many generations to come. He said that five other potential sites had been reviewed as part of this process. But he said that he had been advised that risks associated with these alternative sites were unknown and could be as high as this one. He said moving the scheme to an alternative site would delay the provision of the SLD places.
And continuing with that article, Executive Member for Resources and Performance, Councillor Chris Lucas, said that he was at a loss to understand how they were in a position whereby surveys were conducted, but then they discovered a disproportionate amount of chalk that would impact the budget, adding, "So I do need to ask questions around what kind of procedures we have in place. What contractual arrangements do we have in place with those who performed those surveys on our behalf? And whether or not there are some competency issues there? Councillor Lucas also questioned when the last administration knew of this and whether they had kicked it into the long grass for the new administration to pick up. He asked what safeguards could be put in place for large-scale builds in the future to make sure that we're not caught in this situation again. In response to the concerns expressed by councillors, Deputy Chief Executive Scott Cruddington pointed to past successful schemes, but committed to undertake a review. He said the approach that we take to site selection and then the preparations for schemes like this has followed all due processes that have normally been followed in the past and have delivered many successful schemes as well. However, the point being taken is that whether there needs to be improvements in the process to try and mitigate risk further. This has been a second site identified in recent times as having issues below the ground. Once we've got underway with construction, I absolutely will take the view of the Cabinet today, and we will undertake a review to see what parts of the processes need improving to try to reduce those risks going forward.
More than 100 parents shared their experiences of SEND services in Hertfordshire at a series of listening events hosted by the County Council. The EHCP, Education, Health and Care Plan process, the number of decisions determined at tribunal, early intervention and access to information were among the issues raised. Some talked about the need for professionals to listen more carefully to caregivers and the different attitudes to school absence for those children with SEND and those without. One parent said that while parents of children without SEND could be fined for missing just a few days of school, their children with SEND could be left without a school place for months. The series of five listening events has been designed to give people their chance to talk to county councillors and officials about what works in the SEND system and the challenges they face in advance of the planned SEND summit. The testimony of parents and other attendees, shared in small groups at the different events, will be used in development of plans for services for children and young people with SEND. Among those to share their experiences at the event, held in Hatfield on Thursday, July the 17th, was a parent waiting for a tribunal to determine whether her four-year-old child can attend a special school. Although it has been agreed that her daughter should attend a school for children with learning difficulties, she has been allocated a place at a mainstream school. In a bid to overturn that placement, she is having to fight her way through a legal process. "We shouldn't have to fight so hard to get the education we want for our child," she said, describing a situation as both stressful and heartbreaking. She suggested that if early intervention gave children the right support, they would not need access to more costly services later. Another parent explained to the local Democracy Reporting Service that her five-year-old son needed a place at a specialist school for children with severe learning difficulties, but that there were no places available. She has not been told exactly when a place will be offered. Although she said she was hoping for a miracle, she expected to wait up to 3 years. She has been offered a place at a mainstream school, meanwhile, but felt she had no option but to reduce her working hours and keep him at home. She has also requested a tribunal, but the hearing will not take place until next June. "I feel they don't care about individuals, the government that is, just the whole education system," she said. "They don't care my son has not got a school to go to and will be further delayed. They talk about early intervention, but none is provided. He is going to go backwards by not having any educational setting. I do think the council want to hear and genuinely care, but there's nothing they can actually do. My child is not the only one in that situation."
And continuing that story, former Conservative County Councillor Peter Hebden attended the event as a governor at Southfield School. He cited children with SEND who do not start school until they're 8 because there's no specialist provision available for them. He said there was a need to review special education provision. He hoped that as a result of the county's planned SEND summit, children would receive appropriate education, suggesting that currently some do and some do not. Following the event, the County Council's Executive Member for Education, SEND and Inclusion, Councillor Mark Watkin, acknowledged the frustration expressed by parents. They've expressed frustration at the battle they have with the local authority, just to get, in so many cases, what is the correct treatment and support for their children, he said. The impact of this for many families has been massive financially, because they've had to find significant amounts to go to tribunal, and the effects on their lives have been catastrophic. They've had to give up work, stay at home to support their child, while fighting for the right for support for that child. The emotional damage to those families is incalculable. Despite the depth of feeling at the event, Councillor Watkin also acknowledged that the council did not have access to huge amounts of additional funding. But he said that the experiences shared by those attending the listening events would have direct influence on what happened next. We do not have a pot of gold so that we can suddenly transform the situation, he said. What we can do is show that we're open to hearing what they have to tell us and do whatever we can to change what we need to change. The listening events have been held in advance of the planned SEND summits scheduled to be held on September the 15th, which will bring together parents and carers, councillors and representatives from health, education and social care.
An award for a very special Hemel Hempstead couple who have been exceptional foster parents for over 40 years was particularly poignant after one passed away before they could accept it. The annual celebration of foster carers in Hertfordshire provided an opportunity to recognise and celebrate the dedication, compassion and impact of Hertfordshire's mainstream fostering and kinship fostering communities. This year, the ceremony welcomed more than 80 foster carers. Some were awarded for their longevity of service, and others were recognised for their exceptional contribution to different areas of fostering. The ultimate honour was the Outstanding Fostering Award, a special recognition of the exceptional dedication and commitment shown by a foster carer. This year, it was awarded to a very special couple, Joan and Reg East, from Hemel Hempstead, who had been fostering for Hertfordshire County Council for more than 40 years. The Hemel Gazette carried a story on Reg and Joan's long service back in January 2024. Reg and Joan were also being recognised with a Long Service Award, but sadly Joan recently passed away, making the honour a fitting tribute and all the more poignant. Reg and Joan's long service is given real context by the fact that more foster carers are urgently needed in the county. The event gave Hearts County Council's new Executive Member for Children's Services, Councillor Anthony Rowlands, the chance to meet some of the county's amazing foster carers. As we reflect on what life is now like, it's probably the case that for young people growing up, in many ways it's never been as hard, Councillor Rowlands said. There are all sorts of pressures that confront young people. So the needs of young people to have a home environment which is secure, supportive and full of love has never been greater. And that's why I'm particularly grateful to foster carers for all the work they do and why it's so important that those people who might be thinking about foster care, wanting to know more, come forward and contact the County Council. There are approximately 1,000 children in care in Hertfordshire, and more foster carers are urgently needed. As well as generous pay and allowances, the council states it offers local comprehensive training and 24/7 support.
Councillors agreed to push forward with plans to sell the entire County Hall estate in Hertford. This week, the council confirmed it is planning to sell the site for alternative uses in a bid to raise funds for other services. Critics of the move have questioned whether the authority should sell off a building that has been used by local government in Hertfordshire for over 1,000 years, and noted the building is Grade 2 listed. After the council's cabinet approved the sale of the estate, it was called in by councillors who questioned the suitability of moving the council's main headquarters to Stevenage. Hertfordshire's new authority, which was elected following the May elections, where the Conservatives lost majority control of the council, say this decision reflects its policy of making operations more effective by reducing costs. County Hall has been marketed for employment use since September 2023, following the council's decision to move most of its services from the Hertford site to its Stevenage campus. However, the council says there has been limited interest in securing the site for employment use, with most interested parties looking to rent small parts of the building. It is hoped that more parties will be interested in the site now it is available for residential or commercial use. Estimations from the council show that the move could save the authority £9.7 million that it would cost to remove the county hall from other business opportunities. The council says it is working on ways it can host democratic meetings at the Stevenage campus. Councillor Chris Lucas said, "We have not taken this decision lightly, and we welcome the feedback that has come from interested parties, along with the views of the Overview and Scrutiny Committee. However, if we are to deliver on our pledges to make ourselves more efficient while improving services, we must be prepared to embrace change that will bring benefits to all, through the investment of any receipts back into the services we deliver. By looking at how we can best use our assets, particularly those that are not fully utilised, we can reduce the need for borrowing, allowing us to invest in our vital services and deliver on our vision for a better Hertfordshire."
A dangerous predator has been jailed for 19 years after being found guilty of multiple sexual offences against three women, including a rape which occurred in Hemel Hempstead. Zephan Allen, aged 28, of Wilmington Close, Watford, was convicted at St Albans Crown Court on 20th of March of three counts of rape and one count of digital penetration. The offences took place between 2021 and 2022 in Bishop Stortford, Hemel Hempstead and Watford. He was remanded in custody ahead of his sentencing at St Albans Crown Court on Monday the 21st of July, where he was jailed for 19 years. Hertfordshire Constabulary investigator Gary Jackett said, "The attacks were premeditated and coordinated. Allen is a dangerous predator who deserves to be behind bars, having purposely targeted his three victims, building relationships with them before committing these offences, most of which took place when his victims were asleep or semi-conscious," investigator Jackett said. "Sex without consent is rape. All three victims have shown exceptional courage and strength throughout the whole process of this investigation. They all gave evidence at court, which would have been undoubtedly difficult, having to discuss and relive these traumatic incidents that have understandably had a long-lasting impact on them, but was absolutely vital in bringing Allen to justice. We know it can be hard to come forward to report incidents of sexual assault. I'd like to take this opportunity to emphasise that we take all reports of sexual offences very seriously, and we will do all we can to ensure that victims are heard and supported and that offenders are apprehended. Becoming a victim of sexual assault is never your fault. If you've been a victim, no matter how long ago the offence occurred, please report it. We have specialist officers on hand to provide advice and support throughout an investigation. You can report them the information online via hearts.police.uk/report or call the non-emergency number 101. Anyone in Hertfordshire who has experienced sexual abuse or sexual violence can contact the Hearts Sexual Assault Referral Centre, SARC, for practical and emotional support. The centre can arrange face-to-face support, sexual health referrals, and provide forensic medical examinations for those who want them. To contact Hearts SARC, call 0330 223 0099 or visit Hearts SARC website at heartssarc.org.
The results of Berkhamsted's by-elections have been released. Following Thursday's elections, a candidate representing the Liberal Democrats has been elected to Dacorum Borough Council. Will Jakowski will represent the Berkhamsted West Ward of Dacorum after receiving the most votes. He was also elected to Berkhamsted's Town Council. The results for the Dacorum Borough Council voting was as follows. Will Jakowski, Liberal Democrats, 643, elected. Jim Lawler, Labour Party, 41 votes. Ben Rolfe, Local Conservatives, 357 votes. Rose Mary Sheridan, Green Party candidate, 99 votes. The results for Berkhamsted Council were as follows. Timothy Daniel Brandwood, Green Party candidate, 129 votes. Will Jakowski, Liberal Democrats, 654 votes, elected. Ben Rolfe, Local Conservatives, 366 votes. Dacorum Borough Council leader Sally Symington said, "Huge congratulations to Will Jakowski. Will brings a wealth of experience both as a former local councillor prior to moving to Berkhamsted and a passion for improving services for local residents." The by-election followed the very sad death of Councillor Robert Stewart, who served the community with commitment and dedication, always putting residents front and foremost and endeavouring to solve the issues they faced. Robert Stewart died in May of this year. His death was announced by Berkhamsted Town Council. Councillor Symington described him as a councillor who served his community with enthusiasm, diligence, and a strong commitment to delivering for residents. She said in May, "It was a privilege to work with him. Robert brought his experience of working in central government to local government and was a highly valued chair of the audit committee."
Biomel, the UK's number one plant-based gut health brand, is expanding its operations with an innovation hub and production facility at Prologis Park, Hemel Hempstead. The move marks a major step in the company's growth strategy as it scales production, expands its product range, and accelerates its presence across UK, Europe, and online. The 20,500 square foot building, leased from Prologis UK, will allow Biomel to significantly increase output of its gut health products and continue developing science-led innovations to support digestive health, immune health, and mental performance. Founded in 2017, Biomel has grown from a startup into one of the UK's fastest growing health and wellness brands. Its plant-based gut health products are sold in Waitrose, Sainsbury's, Marks & Spencer, Ocado, Holland & Barrett, Boots and Whole Foods, alongside a growing direct-to-consumer channel. The business has recorded triple-digit annual growth and is now expanding its footprint in European markets whilst planning to build a 100-person team across its London headquarters and Hemel-based innovation and production hub. Janet Lozano, co-founder of Biomel Gut Health, said, "Our new innovation and production centre facility marks an important milestone. It not only allows us to increase production to meet growing demand, but also brings together the space, location and infrastructure we need to create market-leading products and scale efficiently. Producing our own products has been critical to our success and positions Biomel at the forefront of innovation to better meet consumers' evolving needs in this dynamic market. Hemel Hempstead gives us the ideal base, uniting our core team under one roof, tapping into strong regional talent and placing us close to key retail and logistics networks. DC11 is equipped with best-in-class energy-efficient systems designed to minimise waste and environmental impact. The building features a rooftop solar array estimated to generate 49,000 kilowatt hours annually. It has achieved an EPC A+ rating and BREEAM Outstanding Certification, underlining Biomel's commitment to sustainability. Prologis Essentials will deliver a full turnkey fit-out, including production facilities, frozen and chilled storage, and new racking in the ambient warehouse. Simon Perks, Capital Deployment Director at Prologis UK, added, "With the expansion at Hemel Hempstead complete, Biomel is a much welcomed addition to this established park. The brand's innovative products and growth trajectory perfectly complement our mission to provide flexible, sustainable facilities for pioneering businesses."
Conservative county councillors have failed in a bid to ensure the option of a single unitary authority for Hertfordshire would be back on the table. Hertfordshire currently operates on a two-tier system of local government, with 10 district and borough councils under the county council. Responsibilities are split between the two tiers, with district-level councils dealing with things like planning and parks, and the county council handling adult social care, education and highways. Unitary councils combine the roles district and county councils into one single authority. They can cover whole counties, such as in Cornwall, or they can cover smaller areas, like Luton Borough Council. But by November, council leaders will have to submit proposals to the government that would replace those councils with a unitary council structure. Earlier this year, an interim submission to the government by Hertfordshire's 11 council leaders identified five possible options, including one, two, three, or four unitary authorities. But following the change of administration of the county council in May, it was decided that no further work would be undertaken to develop the proposal for a single unitary. At a meeting of the county council, leader of the Conservative opposition and former leader of the county council, Councillor Richard Roberts, proposed that consideration should again be given to the option of a single unitary authority. He proposed a motion, ultimately voted down by the council, that suggested a single authority would serve the best interests of residents and businesses. And he called for a continuation of planning for a range of new council unitaries, including a single authority. The motion suggested that splitting high-performing services into two, three, or four different services would create havoc, be incredibly costly, and could cause catastrophic failure of vital service delivery. It pointed to estimates that suggest that over a five-year period, a single unitary authority would save more than £100 million, whereas a structure with four unitaries would cost an additional £1.5 billion. It suggested that smaller unitaries may compete for resources and that, it suggests, could lead to unfair and unequal outcomes across Hertfordshire. Councillor Roberts urged councillors, "Let's model the cost profile of a single council for Hertfordshire, just so that we know what we're really getting into. Hertfordshire is nationally significant. These are strategic decisions. Let's think strategically to deliver a Hertfordshire for the future that's in the best interests of the residents and businesses."
And continuing on that article, Liberal Democrat leader of the County Council, Councillor Steve Jarvis, who stressed work on local government reform should not divert them from the council's service delivery, was among the majority of councillors who opposed the move. "It is clear that a single unitary does not have the support of people in Hertfordshire," he said. "It doesn't have the support of the district and boroughs, and the evidence shows it doesn't have the support of the population. So I think that inevitably local government is a trade-off between the two parts. It's a trade-off between local and government. It would no doubt be more effective to deliver some of these services on an even greater scale, but that's not what we should do. My judgment is that the best compromise between delivering services that are close to people and delivering services that are effective is probably that there should be two unitary councils in Hertfordshire." Leader of the Green Group, Councillor Kirsty Taylor-Moran, also spoke against the motion, suggesting a single unitary authority would not be democratic. She told councillors, This is a really exciting opportunity to make things better for people, and we shouldn't waste it. Labour's councillor Ian Albert suggested there was a clear desire among residents to simplify local government in Hertfordshire, but signalled that the Labour group would vote against the motion. He said that a single authority doing all the work of the districts and county council for 1.3 million people would be too big, too remote an authority. Meanwhile, Reform UK councillor Matthew Hirst, who signalled his group would be supporting the motion, suggested that from a purely financial position, a local government reorganisation made sense. The majority of councillors, 42, voted against the motion, with 27 voting for and 2 abstentions.
Hertfordshire County Council has confirmed plans to introduce new 20-mile-per-hour zones in the region. A review of the county speed management strategy has been authorised by the authority that also wants to add more traffic calming mechanisms to Hertfordshire's roads. A spokesman for the council said introducing new road safety measures is a priority for the new authority, which has a Liberal Democrat minority control since the Conservatives lost power at this year's local elections. The council also stated that it hopes that bringing in slower speed limits will encourage more people to walk and cycle around the county. While in some areas the council says it will only need to change traffic signs, it is developing plans to introduce raised crossings and other safety measures in other areas. Hertfordshire County Council wants to make it easier to review and introduce appropriate speed limits on roads in the county. As part of its overall transport plan, the authority wants to use data to identify potential problem areas on Hertfordshire's roads. The authority used the example of introducing restrictions on rural roads to prevent them becoming rat runs for speeding drivers. Councillor Paul Zukowski said, "I've asked the Director of Transport for Hertfordshire to begin work at pace on these new approaches, and progress will need to be reported back to both myself and the Cabinet Member for Highways. We're committed to improving our environment, and there's no doubt that more people cycling and walking would have a significant impact. We also know that feeling unsafe on our roads is a huge barrier to residents travelling more sustainably. By building on the work that's already been done in this area, we hope to create better, more inviting places for our communities to live in, where everyone feels safe and encouraged to live healthier lifestyles in a greener environment."
A man has been jailed after committing a series of burglaries in homes located in Hertfordshire. At St Albans Crown Court, Edmund Leash, aged 43, of Topper Street in Cambridge, was given a 5-year jail sentence. He was previously found guilty of 3 counts of burglary, dwelling and theft, and 1 count of going equipped to steal. St Albans Crown Court heard that Leash went on a break-in spree in January and February of this year. He broke into buildings in Kings Langley, Watford and Hemel Hempstead, where he stole high-value jewellery and designer watches. Detective Constable Georgia Boyle from the Watford Local Crime Unit said, "We're pleased to see Leash sentenced for his crimes today. We know that burglary can have far-reaching and devastating impact on its victims, and we hope that those affected by Leash's criminality can close this chapter now that he's behind bars. My colleagues and I will always do our very best to capture and bring to justice those who choose to steal from others. Burglary will never be tolerated in Hertfordshire."
Taylor Wimpey North Thames has sponsored the 3rd Bovingdon Classic Car Show with a £1,000 donation. The event took place on Sunday, July 6th, on the Village Green in Bovingdon. The event, which is in its 3rd year, is run by the Bovingdon Classic Car Show Committee. This year's show attracted more than 250 classic vehicles over 20 years old, including cars, commercial trucks, motorcycles, military vehicles and fire engines. On the day, over 4,000 people attended the event, and were able to enjoy live entertainment and a selection of hot and cold food and beverages while exploring the variety of classic cars available. The funds raised by the event will be donated to four good causes. First, Bovingdon Scout Group's upcoming Scout Hall that is being built at Grange Farm. St Lawrence's Church's Patience Project that aims to build a new community use annex. The Bovingdon School Academy Parents Association's fundraising for vital school equipment and playground enhancements, and the Essex and Hearts Air Ambulance. Taylor Wimpey's donation, which is part of its ongoing commitment to supporting local events happening near its Bovingdon Grange development in Bovingdon, helped towards costs of the day, ensuring the maximum profit could be raised. Rob Hillier, Bovingdon Classic Car Show and Family Fun Day Committee Chairman, said, "It was a glorious day of almost total sunshine, despite absolute downpours in neighbouring towns throughout the day. The hard work and effort and a year of planning delivered a super show, according to early feedback. We are very grateful for the support of Taylor Wimpey and for all of our sponsors that have helped ensure the event raises several thousand pounds for local good causes and charities." Jason Turner, sales manager for Taylor Wimpey North Thames, said, "We are proud to support the Bovingdon Classic Car Show this year as a sponsor. Events like these are important to the Bovingdon community in not only creating a fun day out for locals to attend and learn more about classic cars, but because it also raises money for essential charities and causes in the local area." To find out more about the homes available at Taylor Wimpey's Bovingdon Grange development, visit taylorwimpey.co.uk/new-homes/Bovingdon/Bovingdon-Grange.
Now we come to the information slot. This is followed by What's On, Further News and Sport. There were no obituaries reported in the latest edition of the Gazette and Express.
This week in history, August the 2nd, 1969, the US Mariner unmanned spacecraft beamed the first pictures of Mars back to Earth. August the 3rd, 1977, Tandy Corporation released the TRS-80, one of the first personal computers available to the consumer market. On this day last year, Great Britain's men's eight rowing team revealed their golden charge at Paris 2024 was inspired by videos from Team GB's Olympic-winning crew at Sydney 24 years previously. August the 4th, 1978. Jeremy Thorpe, a former leader of the Liberal Party, was charged with conspiracy to murder Mr. Norman Scott. He was later cleared. On this day last year, Keir Starmer vowed rioters would regret engaging in far-right thuggery after a sixth day of escalating violence in England as the government announced emergency security for mosques amid the threat of further disorder. August the 5th, 1958, the nuclear-powered submarine Nautilus completed its historic journey under the North Pole. August the 6th, 1962, Jamaica gained independence after being a British colony for more than 300 years. On this day last year, Kamala Harris introduced Minnesota Governor Tim Walz as her running mate, turning to an affable long-term politician who Democrats hoped would keep the newfound party unity alive in a presidential campaign heading towards Election Day.
How to buy a used kitchen. Your beautiful dream kitchen could be more budget-friendly than you think. Buying a used or ex-display kitchen might sound daunting, but it's a surprisingly straightforward process. First, know your space. Accurately measure kitchen dimensions for layout planning. Next, buy extra units. Ensure flexibility and coverage for unexpected needs. Third, View in person. Verify condition and colour for confident purchase. And 4. Reconfigure units. Adapt kitchen to fit specific layout requirements.
Now inviting local artists to exhibit and the public to save the date for this much-loved visual arts festival, Hemel Hempstead Hertfordshire. Art in the Nave, Hemel Hempstead's annual celebration of visual arts, will return to St Mary's Church in Hemel Hempstead's Old Town over the August Bank Holiday weekend, August 23rd to the 25th. Now in its seventh year, the three-day festival has become a highlight of the Hertfordshire Arts calendar, attracting artists and visitors from across the region. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m, the festival transforms the historic 12th-century church into a vibrant gallery space. Visitors will enjoy the chance to explore and purchase original works from local artists, including paintings, textiles, ceramics, glass, handmade jewellery and silverware. Art in the Nave is a true celebration of local talent, said Brian Doran, festival organiser. It's a unique space where art lovers, families and artists come together as a community, and the beautiful setting of St Mary's, one of Hemel's most beautiful and historic buildings, make it all the more special. Artists from across Hertfordshire and the surrounding counties are invited to register to exhibit their work. It's a valuable opportunity to showcase and sell art directly to an engaged audience in a warm and welcoming setting, with artists returning year upon year. The event offers something for everyone, whether you're a serious collector, an art lover, or simply looking for a great local outing over the long weekend. It's a welcoming and family-friendly space. Entry is by suggested donation of £2 for adults, with free admission for under-16s. Light refreshments will be available throughout the weekend. The event also supports three local charities. Hector's House, a local mental health and suicide prevention charity based in Berkhamsted. UK Langer Township Preschool Trust, supporting education in South Africa. The Friends of St Mary's, preserving and restoring the historic church. For more information or to get involved, please email artinthenave, all one word, that's artinthenave@gmail.com. Art in the Nave is an annual volunteer-led visual arts festival held at St Mary's Church in Hemel Hempstead's historic Old Town. Now in its seventh year, the event brings together local artists and the wider community to celebrate creativity in one of England's oldest historic buildings, St Mary's, 1140 to 1180 AD.
The government has announced that 16-year-olds will soon have the right to vote in all UK elections. The change is expected to be in place by the time of the next general election, which will be held no later than August 2029. 16 and 17-year-olds can work, pay tax, serve in the military, and contribute in so many ways to our society, the government said. It's right and fair that they should be able to vote. The government says it will help the education sector to support the changes by having more lessons on democracy and citizenship, as the rights and responsibilities that we all have as part of society. Many of the organisations that support votes at 16 say it's essential that we have more media and information literacy teaching in schools. This would allow young voters to know what information they can trust and to make a properly informed decision about who to vote for. Liz Morse, the CEO of the Association for Citizenship Teaching, told us, "Giving 16-year-olds the vote is an exciting change, but young people need the right knowledge and skills to take part. That means learning how voting works, thinking about different views, spotting false and misleading news and information, and knowing their rights. Citizenship lessons help with all this, and that's why they should be compulsory in every school. Starting in primary gives pupils time to grow into confident, informed citizens who know how to make their voices heard. The decision to allow votes at 16 is just one part of a government review called Restoring Trust in Our Democracy, Our Strategy for Modern and Secure Elections. It also talks about making sure elections are fair, that more voters take part in them, and clamping down on abuse towards candidates, especially women and ethnic minorities.
Dacorum Borough Council has revealed that six of its parks received coveted internationally recognised awards this week. Six green spaces in Dacorum were given Green Flag Award status by national environmental charity Keep Britain Tidy. The Green Flag Award is an international quality mark. It promotes areas with exceptional standards of cleanliness, safety and community engagement. Among those chosen in Dacorum is Gaybridge Park, which has been selected for a second consecutive year. Also included were Bunkers Park and the Water Gardens in Hemel Hempstead, Canal Fields in Berkhamsted, Chipperfield Common and Tring Memorial Gardens have also successfully retained their accreditation. A spokesperson for Dacorum Borough Council said, "The consistent recognition of these parks and green spaces highlights the hard work and dedication of staff and all the volunteers, organisations and community groups who work with us for their upkeep and improvement. It is this commitment and great partnership working that ensures that these areas remain beautiful, safe and enjoyable for both residents and visitors."
Now for What's On. Family Theatre, Quentin Blake's Mrs. Armitage on Wheels, Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead, August the 1st. Adapted from Quentin Blake's classic tale, Scoot Theatre present a 40-minute interactive, energetic show celebrating the joy of getting outdoors and being active. Call Hemel 228 091 to book. Theatre, Joseph and the Amazing Technical Dreamcoat, Milton Keynes Theatre, August the 6th to the 10th. Starring X Factor winner Joe McElderry, the smash hit new production of Andrew Lloyd Webber and Tim Rice's beloved musical promises drama and fun aplenty. Featuring pop and musical theatre classics, including Any Dream Will Do, Close Every Door, There's One More Angel in Heaven, and Go, 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 Joseph, this production originated at the London Palladium, where it received a rapturous reception during its 2019 and 2021 summer seasons. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book.
Music. Organ recital. Charles Wooler, All Saints Church, Berkhamsted, August the 3rd at 2:30 p.m. The former Berkhamsted school student, who has performed at Westminster Abbey and St Paul's Cathedral, plays music by composers, including J.S. Bach and John Stanley. Free admission. Theatre. Calamity Jane at Milton Keynes Theatre, July 29th to August 2nd. Meet the fearless gunslinging Calamity Jane, biggest mouth in Dakota Territory and always up for a fight. But when the men of Deadwood fall hard for a Chicago stage star, Adelaide Adams, Calamity struggles to keep her jealousy holstered. Her heart's a-thumping, but who for? Based on the much-loved Doris Day movie, this new production stars the multi-award-winning West End actress and singer Carrie Hope Fletcher, whose credits include Cinderella and Les Miserables. Songs include The Deadwood Stage, Whip Crack Away, The Black Hills of Dakota and Secret Love. Visit atgtickets.com/Milton Keynes to book or for more information about the show.
Horton's Steam Fair are on Boxmoor Common. Experience the magic of a traditional British fun fair with stunning restored rides and side stalls dating from the 1900s to the 1960s. Free entry every day, pay for the rides you need. A lovely day out for all generations of the family to enjoy with plenty of lovely photo opportunities. Some of the rides are Gallopers, Lightning Skid, Chair-O-Plane, Big Wheel, Dodgems. A selection of game stalls are the Vintage Arcade, Hooker Duck, Coconut Shy, Cork Shooter and Mirror Show. It runs from Saturday the 26th of July to the 3rd of August. Opening times are 12 midday to 7 p.m. And in Little Gaddesdon, there is a local produce market. Fantastic stalls selling homemade, organic, free-range and locally sourced produce, alongside crafts and treats. It's open 9 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. at the Little Gaddesdon Village Hall.
Grove Hill Community Day at Grove Hill Community Centre, 7 Henry Wells Square, Hemel Hempstead, Thursday, 7th of August, 2025, from 11 o'clock in the morning to 2:30 in the afternoon. Hemel Fest 2025 at Gadebridge Park. Dance Anthem DJs on Friday, 8th of August. Tribute and cover bands on Saturday, 9th of August. Our all-new food fest on Sunday, 10th of August.
Hamish Langaratne hit a fine century as Hemel Hempstead's first team beat Preston on a good day for the club. Hemel completed the double again over Preston as skipper Hamish Langaratne scored 114 following his last innings of 93 against Shenley Village. Hem now has 9,722 first 11 Hearts League runs, which is 275 off the record of the 9,997 by Nick Wright. Batting first, Hemel made 233 for 5 from 60 overs, with Tom Elburn chipping in with 40 along the way. Hemel then bowled out Preston for 164 in 56 and a half overs, requiring infrequent bowler Brett Penny to come on and remove the dug-in Preston keeper Gallimore for 43 at the end to secure the win. Hemel are seventh in place in the championship, 32 points ahead of eighth-placed Preston. Second 11 Hemel versus St Albans second 11, Division 3A. A solid win for Hemel beating St Albans at home when they'd lost at Clarence Park earlier in the season. Hemel bowled out St Albans for 131 in 37.3 overs, with Sam Cumar turning in 4 for 26 to wrap up the tale. Luther O'Corrigan, 38, held the innings together after the loss of 3 quick wickets, and the middle order saw Hemel through to 132 for 5 from 33.4 overs. The way these things go, St Albans are fifth in the Division 3A and Hemel are seventh, but there's only 20 points covering the positions 4th to 8th, so tight in there. Third 11 Hemel versus Western first 11, Division 6A. The third win on this Saturday for Hemel's sides as Hemel moved up to second in Division 6A on the same points as Old Elizabethan's second 11. Western chose to bat and Hemel bowled them out for 213 in 48.2 overs. A couple of wickets each for Jacob Hodgkins, 2 for 34, and Iranda Jaisinghe, 2 for 42, plus a couple of sharp run-outs kept Hemel in control. 3 for 32 from Yasser Butt, took out the top and saw off the end. Hemel's batting was sound, but the key batter was Cam Akhtar, who hit 75 and saw Hemel through to 216 for 8 from 46 and a half overs and victory. Western are in seventh place.
Hemel Hempstead boss Lee Allenson was full of praise for his side after they won the Hearts Senior Cup with a 3-1 success against Potters Bar Town on Saturday. Hemel took the lead on 35 minutes when Adi Aziz received the ball at the back post, swivelled in the 6-yard box and fired home. But Nana Kai was left unmarked and he made no mistake to level the scores before half-time. Hemel retook the lead just past the hour mark when a great pass from Trialist found Aziz, who drove through the middle before tucking the ball home. Just a couple of minutes later, the Tudors cleared a corner to Joe White, who raced up the pitch before chipping the advancing keeper to make it 3-1 to seal the win. Allenson told the club's media afterwards, "I'm delighted to win the cup. I take these cups very seriously because you never know when the next one's coming, so you have to try and win them and to enjoy it. I like winning trophies, you know. If you don't want to win these games, then I don't see the point in them. So it was really important, although it's obviously a weird feeling because we're still in pre-season and you're still trying to get minutes into people and pick a side with that thought process. We were brilliant for the first half hour, but after we scored, we got sloppy and invited pressure and should have dealt with the ball in the corner and seen the half out. The importance of having a good and big squad this year is going to be vital because subs have come on and changed the game and I felt it could have been 6 or 7 in the end. Hemel were back in action on Tuesday night when they travelled to newly promoted National League North side Bedford Town in a match that was originally due to be played in Hemel before being switched last week. Then they'll host a Luton Town 11 on Saturday with a 1 p.m. kick-off.
We are coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 5:27 and 8:49 p.m. For those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel, all one word, .org.uk. If you wish to listen to Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill." Alexa will ask you which broadcast you want to listen to. When prompted, reply, "Play the Decorum talking newspaper." This part can be tricky. If Alexa offers the wrong station, just say no and then try again. For those who are listening to this week's news via a memory stick, after the music there is the amenities section that gives details of various groups and the contact details of organisations. Please remove your memory stick carefully from the player and return it to us in the pouch provided. Seal it up firmly, turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. No stamp is required. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Gary, your technician for this week.